You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
And start to find a new pace. I want to try and help us see that perhaps, for some of us at least, maybe the way we're living isn't resulting in the life that we most long for. So in your head, answer me this question. In your head, in one word, how would you describe your week? Think about it for a moment. In one word, how would you describe your week? Would you say busy, full, brilliant, awesome, non-stop, rushed, maybe even overwhelmed? For some, it's been a week of joy and progress, but for others, maybe it's been a week of barely keeping up. School runs, end of term, work deadlines, unexpected bills, laundry, emails that you meant to reply to but didn't get to. And have you ever noticed how often we say, it's just a busy season. Next week will be better. Once I get through this, I'll slow down. But you see, we live in a culture that celebrates busyness and productivity. We see people, it's presented to us day in, day out, people who are crushing it, whatever that means. People who are heading it with the 4 a.m. club and hitting 10 million steps before brekkie. And sometimes we can believe if we just push a little harder, manage our time a little better, we'll find rest. But rest then often remains elusive, seemingly always pushed in to that land beyond called tomorrow. So today I want to see how we are actually doing. In a moment, you're going to see a QR code up on the screen. It's probably the only time, maybe not the only, but the very few times that I will ask you to get your phones out in the middle of a sermon. And I want you to scan the QR code or use the Slido login number and type that one word that came to your head when I asked you to describe your week. It could be how you felt. It could be what your week was like, the pace of it, or the word that sums it up most to you. My only request of all of us, this is not an exam. I'm not looking for the right answer. I'm not looking for the church answer. I want you to be honest. So, hopefully, that's going to, Sean, I'm going to look to you. It was working before the service. Just give us a second. For a great sum, you can see that. Give us a couple of seconds. We're just going to get this up. So if you go back to there and then go present. And just
present from the beginning.
From current slide. Oh, okay, I see. No connection. Okay, just chat amongst yourselves. This was working swimmingly just before. See, technology, it's a sign from the Lord, isn't it? I shouldn't ever bring it in. Just give us a sec. I do, Dave. I will give you that in a sec as well.
Is the connection gone off? Should we try and hotspot it?
Oh, there it was. Give it a sec. There we go. Hey, excellent. So you've got the QR code at the top. The Slido number is 1288299. So bring that up. And as you send in your words, they're going to appear on the screen. And we will see the story that we are making. I love someone's put the number up there. That No, I'm not looking at you, Lindy. Okay, and as this word cloud is developing, obviously it's picking up repeated words and making them bigger. Hot, being tiring, busy, exhausted, blessed, slay. That's a young person right there. Fun. Rice. That's just a way of describing the week. Rice. Okay. Perfect. I think rice is a wonderful way to describe the week. So, okay, they'll keep coming up as we see. But let's have a look at this. This is telling a story. It's telling our story. We can see the words that are hectic, busy, enjoyable, tiring, emotional, non-stop, happy, blessed, challenging, vanishing, stressful. These are our words. These are our story. And you see, it's not just us. Research shows us that this, in many ways, is the air that we're breathing. The UK has some of the longest working hours in Europe, with many people feeling that they don't have time for rest and family. Gallup's State of the Global Workplace 2023 research states that 44% of employees reported experiencing daily stress, a historically high level. A UK Mental Health Foundation survey in 2023 found that 74% of adults have felt so stressed they felt overwhelmed or unable to cope. Ofcom 23 research states that we're spending over 5 hours a day on our devices on average, often adding to a sense of hurry or distraction. This is our story, but it doesn't sound like our story is that dissimilar to the story that's going on around us. It's no wonder that many of us feel rushed and stretched thin. But what if God in his kindness has given us a gift that frees us from the endless rush? What if God offers an invitation to live differently, to stop, to breathe, to delight and to trust him? What if there's a rhythm to life that God has created, built into creation, you might say, for our flourishing? And I know what some of you are thinking. You're looking on the words there, tired, rushed, hot, busy, exhausted, and you're thinking, yes, Sabbath sounds wonderful. Sabbath sounds a lovely idea, but it's out of reach. Many of you are carrying real pressures, work, family, finances, and the idea of Sabbath, however nice it might sound, just sounds unrealistic. And you may be sitting here this morning thinking, you don't know my job. You don't know my season of life right now. You don't know if I stop, I'll fall behind. And I get it. It's normal to feel worried about stopping. But that fear, that worry, often shows us that Sabbath is exactly what we need. Lindy and I have had numerous discussions this week about it. They haven't been easy. Sunday, in a sense, is a work day for me, but not her. Monday is my day off, but not hers. Friday night is youth. Not saying that we are youth, but we are running around chasing youth. We've got six people in the house. How will this work? I understand the pressures. I don't know the details of your life or your week or your deadlines or the weight you're carrying, but I do know this. God sees, God knows, and God is kind. The same God who said, "Remember the Sabbath day" in Exodus 20, verse 8, also said, "Come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest." Sabbath was never meant to be a burden, but a gift, a delight, not a duty. Jesus didn't just teach about rest, he lived it. He practiced Sabbath, he withdrew to quiet places and lived from his Father's love. You see, Sabbath is not just about stopping. It includes that, but it's also about following Jesus into his rhythms of life, letting him lead our time, our rest, and our delight. And I also know that some of you here this morning will be in a season of fruitfulness and energy, seeing God's goodness and feeling alive. That is absolutely wonderful. I'm so pleased if that is you. Sabbath is also for you. Not to slow your momentum, not to dampen your delight, but to deepen your joy. Anchor your life in God's presence and protect what matters most through every season of life. See, as we read earlier, Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man, for humanity, not man for the Sabbath. God designed Sabbath for our good because he knows we are not machines. When we are never created just to run endlessly, to hustle without pause, or to measure your worth by productivity. But if we're honest, we can often think, I can't afford to stop. But what if we can't afford not to? Because I think my question to all of us, and myself included, is that, is this rushing, striving life working? And I think God, in his kindness, says there is another way. Sabbath teaches us to live in trust, not just effort. To live as children, not robots. To be loved, not just useful. Isaiah 30, verse 15 says, "In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength." God has designed rest for our strength. And it's not about adding another burden to your already full week. It's about receiving a rhythm of rest that brings life back into your soul, perspective back into your work, and delight back into your relationships with each other and with God. You see, Sabbath invites us to step out of the endless cycle of hurry and into the grace of God's presence. It's a weekly act of trust that says that the world will keep spinning even if I stop. My worth does not come from what I produce, but from who I am in God. But here's the thing with Sabbath. It doesn't just happen. No one has ever drifted into Sabbath. No one has ever stumbled into deep rest and delight in God. If anything, our makeup and nature and inclinations, we tend to drift the other way. Unless we're intentional, we can live weeks, even years, without truly stopping to rest in God. And so Sabbath requires an intentional choice to stop. See, God tells us to keep the Sabbath holy. And what does that mean? It means make that day different. Stop what you normally do and set that day apart from the rest of the week. And stopping is not just about ceasing work. In the stopping, what happens, and this is really important, in the stopping, what happens is that we confront a way of living that runs under the surface. It's an unspoken belief that shapes who we are. And that unspoken belief is life only happens if I keep working. Everything depends on me. If I stop, it all falls apart. And we probably have never said it. Maybe some of us have. But it runs there and it quietly drives us, shaping our schedules and exhausting our souls. And this way of living, and unless we become aware of it, aware of what's driving us underneath the surface, the danger and the temptation is that that kind of living, that way of living, subtly but effectively pushes God to the very margins. And Sabbath is God's invitation to trust Him enough to stop. It says, I trust that you are God and I am not. I trust that my world will not fall apart if I pause for a time. I trust that your provision and your grace is enough for me and my family. And Sabbath is a very practical way to take that belief, which I don't think anyone would disagree with me in the room, that His grace and His provision is enough for me and my family. Sabbath is a very practical way to take that belief and live it. Not the only way, but a very practical way. Psalm 127:2 says this, in vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, and for He grants sleep to those He loves. In other words, it's possible to spend your whole life striving, hustling, and stressing and miss out on the peace that God freely gives to His children who trust Him. You see, the other thing about Sabbath is it breaks the lie of self-sufficiency. It refocuses our hearts on God and reminds us who our provider is and who our shepherd is. It declares that our identity is in being loved, not what we produce. And it's a taste of life that Jesus offers in John 10:10 when He says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Other translations will say abundant life. Life overflowing. Life as big and as full as it possibly can be. What does that mean? What does it mean instantly in your head, in your space? Life to the full. We all hold a mental picture and image of what that is. It's good to stop and reflect on that. Jesus promises that we will live this life, but the truth is, I think for many of us, the way we're living isn't delivering that life. We tell ourselves it'll get better in the next phase, when the kids are older, when work eases or the project ends. But does it? We often believe the lie that the always connected, always on life is the only way to live, the only way to make sense of life and to get ahead. But is that life making us more like Jesus? Is that life helping us to become more like Him? And what if it doesn't have to be this way? What if our restless and overbusy lives aren't a symbol of our success, but actually a sign that we've drifted from God's plan for our lives? And what if in His kindness, God has built a rhythm into creation to help us recover our humanity and live fully awake to Him. You see, Sabbath isn't a burdensome rule, something else I've got to do. It's a gift from the Father who knows you, who's created you in His image and knows exactly what it takes to see you flourish in Him. It's not about just about stopping, it's about delight. It's a taste of the kingdom here and now, to live awake to God's presence, delight in His creation, and celebrate His goodness. Imagine, just imagine this. If it helps for some, maybe shut your eyes so the word picture can come alive in your mind's eye. Imagine waking up on a Sabbath without rushing, enjoying God's creation, being fully present, sharing an unhurried meal, laughing, resting, worshiping without checking your phone. Imagine your soul breathing again as you step into God's delight. You see, Sabbath isn't the only thing that we need to live fully, but it is an important part of God's design. It helps rewire our hearts and reorder our lives around Jesus and not hurry, not busyness, not schedules. The life we long for isn't found in working harder or achieving more. It's found in Him. And Sabbath is that weekly invitation to enter His presence and spend time with Him. But perhaps when you hear of Sabbath, you get a knot in your stomach. Right, even now, maybe there's a knot in someone's stomach saying, I won't get everything done. I'll have to run even faster on those other 6 days. It can feel like Sabbath will steal life rather than give it. And the fear is real and really common. And it cannot be sideswept. It cannot just be like, let's not think about that. Let's put it over there in the box of the things we don't think about. We cannot do that. We need to face into it. See, when God commanded Sabbath in Exodus, it wasn't to burden His people, but to free them from slavery. In Egypt, they could never stop. But God said, you are no longer slaves. You are my children, and I will provide for you rest for your souls. See, Sabbath is trusting God's provision and acknowledging that He holds your world together. It's God's gift, not test. But as I said earlier, it requires intentional action. And it may mean letting go of some things, planning differently, and saying no to certain demands. Maybe it means planning meals ahead, getting chores done the day before, and letting people know you're going to be offline. Maybe you're concerned about kids' activities. Book a family time together. This preparation is not burden, it's part of the gift. And it helps you truly enter rest and gives you back the rest and delight and connection with God that our hearts long for. It won't always be easy, but goodness, it will be good. So how can we begin? Start where you are. If 24 hours feels too much, begin with a few hours. God delights in our small steps. He's not there measuring and grading your Sabbath. He's delighting in you taking small steps to move towards Him and be in His presence. And for different people in different seasons of life, it will look different. So for married couples without kids, a slow morning, a walk, a shared meal without screens could be something. For young families, maybe it's pancakes, a device-free afternoon, or a walk in Farnham Park. For singles, a slow breakfast, journaling, meeting up with a friend for coffee. For families with teens or adult children, maybe a family breakfast, a walk, and time for each person in the family to be on their own with God. For empty nesters, it's brunch, it's church, it's a walk, quiet reading. And for retirees, perhaps extended prayer, a walk in nature, coffee with a friend. It's working out what rhythm will match your season in life. But the key is to find out what will help you to stop, to rest, to delight, and to worship. So ask yourself, what feels like work that I need to stop thinking about the Sabbath? And then separately, another question, what brings me rest and helps me delight in God? This week, take 5 minutes to write down what drains you and what restores you to help shape your Sabbath. See, the goal is not legalism, it's life. God doesn't want to take life from you. He wants to restore it through Sabbath. So Sabbath isn't about getting it perfect. It isn't about following rigid rules. It's receiving God's invitation to rest, even if it's messy, even if it feels awkward and a bit clunky to start with. And so maybe some further practical tips to help you start. Some things in terms of preparing for Sabbath. Worship and refocus on God. Coming to church and reading scripture for delight, not study. And I'm not saying study is bad of scripture. Absolutely not. It's a different exercise. And so on the Sabbath, perhaps for you, it's a changing to just delight in God's word for its beauty and wonder and it's speaking personally to you. Enjoy God's creation. Around here, there's so many places. You just have to walk outside. Farnham Park, Alice Holt, the Frensham Ponds, or even just sitting in your garden quietly with a coffee, enjoying God's creation. Rest for your body and mind. Maybe not everyone can do this, but taking a nap or going for a run, hitting the gym, whatever it is that brings rest to your body and mind. Connecting with others, if you can, sharing a meal with family and friends, board games with the family. Practice delight. Cook and eat your favorite meal with loved ones. Read a book for the sheer joy of it. Or do a creative hobby, painting or knitting or baking bread or whatever it may be for you. So it takes action. We've got to think about what we're going to do. But also there's some things that perhaps you could think about pausing. Work-related activities. Just pause the emails, the calls, or the diary management. Planning or working to do on your to-do list and side hustles or projects that make you feel like you're striving. Pause those when it comes to Sabbath. Create this time for this day that will look different. House admin and chores. Like I said earlier, perhaps this takes a bit of preparation, but cleaning and laundry and sorting bills, fixing things around the house, unless it brings you joy. And if it brings you joy, man, I got a list for you. Errands like weekly shopping. It takes a bit of planning, but if we do it, even in the planning, it can be a gift. It can create and generate the excitement and delight in looking forward to your Sabbath. Digital distractions, scrolling media that just numbs you, doom scrolling the news or mindless TV that leaves you feeling worse. Pause those things. Pause shopping unless it's truly restful. That's not like a get out of jail free card. But often, my experience, particularly of online shopping and IKEA, is that it's not restful. I'll move on. You may want to avoid big shopping centers or big shops. Not only because those environments often add stress, but those environments shape us powerfully. When you step back from a shopping center and look at its architecture, it's often like a cathedral. And the shop door is like the stained glass windows that entice you into a life. It's presenting and promoting a particular life to you the whole time. So being in that space begins to shape you, whether you're aware of it or not. You see, if an activity helps you rest, worship, delight, and connect with God and others, keep it in the Sabbath. Pausing on the Sabbath doesn't necessarily mean being activity-free. It's just tuning in to which activities and what rhythm of life brings you rest and delight in your soul. And if something pulls you into stress or striving or distraction, consider pausing that. God isn't there with a stopwatch checking your rest, whether it's the right type of the. You and I need to work out what that is for ourselves. He delights in us when we learn to trust him enough to rest, even in the small steps. And it's a real challenge. This is so practical and hugely theological. And if you're sitting here saying, you have no idea what my life is like, this notion, I like the notion, but it's so out of reach for me. I do understand that. I get it. My encouragement would be, A, reflect on the question, is the way we are currently living delivering the life that we want? Is it producing a life that's full of rest, full of delight, full of worship, full of God's presence? If not, could there be another way? And could Sabbath be part of the answer? And this week, what would it look like to take one intentional step towards Sabbath? Not as another task, but as an invitation to life. Imagine this. Imagine what it would look like if we, as a community in Farnham, lived unhurried, joyful, rested, delightful lives in a world that is running itself ragged. And I don't think it's a pipe dream. I think it's quite an effort to get there, or it takes our effort, takes our intentionality, but I don't think it's a pipe dream. I think I can see it clearly in principles in the scripture. And my question that I have had to wrestle with significantly this year is, when I see this principle throughout Scripture, throughout all of the Old Testament and Jesus' life through the New Testament, why aren't I practicing it? And could I be missing out? And this is absolutely nothing to do with law and grace. This is a principle that God's built into creation and for his people, for their delight and for their fullness and for their rest and for their worship. And the biggest challenge I've had is, why aren't I doing it? And feeling tired and feeling you can fill in whatever it is for your life. But imagine if we lived that way. What a witness that would be to the goodness of God, this unhurried, joyful, rested lives. Sabbath is not just for us. It's also for the world. It declares something of God's goodness to the world. So let's just take a moment of quiet right now. Maybe you want to close your eyes. You don't have to. But in a moment of quiet, ask Jesus this. What do I need to trust you with so I can enter your rest? And what would you have me lay down so I can receive your Sabbath gift? What do I need to trust you with so I can enter your rest? What's that thing that comes to mind? I couldn't possibly put that down. I'm not sure I can trust you with that. And what would you have me lay down so I can receive your Sabbath gift? Let's just pause, listen, and let him speak.
Lord, thank you for loving us even when we are tired and rushing. Thank you that your heart for us is rest, delight, and trust, and not burden. Help each one of us, Lord, to step into your invitation to rest, even in small ways, and know your joy and delight and peace as we learn to trust you more and more, even in small steps. Give us the courage to trust you with our schedules and our lives so that we can live into the fullness that Jesus promised. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.